section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
A WWE legend passes away, new tag champs, and Aaron was right. All this and much, much more on this week's Off the Mark.
This is TNA Impact referee Brian Hebner, and you're listening to Off the Mark.
86 Productions.
Episode of Off the Mark. We are the podcast that provides the most in-depth insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. I am Andrew, he is Aaron, and we have a special guest, Roger Cave. So let's get right into the news. So Aaron, are you excited about Tough Enough starting back up?
Well, I really don't like reality TV that much, so I'm not really that excited. How about you?
That's there. It's just one of those things where, hey, it's great. I enjoy Tough Enough, but I don't want to watch it live. I can watch it taped and, you know, fast forward. Because it's only 43 minutes, and realistically, there's going to be 10 minutes, if that, that you want to see.
List of relevant people who've come from Tough Enough. John Morrison, list over. I just don't care. It's Tough Enough. It's reality TV. It's not good wrestling. If I want to watch developmental wrestling, I'll watch NXT. I don't see what Tough Enough brings.
Now, I will say The Miz also came from Tough Enough.
But The Miz came from the real world. He would have never really been a Tough Enough guy or contestant or made it to WWE TV if it wasn't for the fact that he already had a character.
Oh, that is true. And yeah, and also in the real world, watching it later, he kept saying he wanted to be a professional wrestler known as The Miz. So
yeah, and Ryback was on there as well. Not that, you know, while he was on there, he did not really come from there as much, though, as, you know, going through developmental, being in NXT, you know, doing that stuff. But I think, you know, I was thinking about it when I was doing the doc, and I don't think that Tough Enough is actually even there to produce new stars. I think it's there for brand awareness, and that's it.
Yeah, and it also maybe because if they go SmackDown Live on Tuesdays, which they could do, they could see if this is going to, you know, be worth it for them. Because, you know, it's going to be on USA on Tuesdays. And, of course, we know that, of course, SmackDown is moving to USA, I think, later this year, if I'm correct.
Either later this year or the start of next year.
So it wouldn't surprise me if they actually had SmackDown be on Tuesday. So you have two live shows back to back. But also, I think that's dumb to have two live shows. But anyways, Tough Enough itself, watching past seasons, it's entertaining, but it's almost like, hey, whatever happened to these people? Are they wrestling now or are they just done? One of those things.
I think that Tough Enough, you know, when it was first started, I think it was meant to be kind of developmental, kind of see who they could, you know, make into new stars. Obviously, Maven, you know, he had a feud with The Undertaker, you know, so they obviously had high hopes for him. But the problem lies that, you know, after the first three or four seasons, when it went away, it came back, and that season really didn't do anything for him. And I don't think this one will either. I don't think that the winner will actually be a big star.
No, and I believe it's going to be whoever does win it. I believe that they're going to have some professional wrestling background in a way.
I think they would have been better off doing the Performance Center. You know how they have those like new trainees, the guys going to NXT. That's what Tough Enough should be. Profile those people. They're going to the main roster. You could have UHA Nation. Those guys, the guys that we're seeing kind of before NXT, use Tough Enough for that. Let it be seasonal. Let it be the guys who are working their way up. Show the training. Show what they go through. That could be your like Hard Knocks. Mm-hmm. Model it after that as opposed to like the Real World or the Amazing Race or whatever this is supposed to really kind of be a mockery of.
I do agree with the Hard Knocks thing. That is, I actually would prefer that because then you could take guys who are there like U-Nation, and you can also have, I think his name is Braun Strowman, I think is his name. He was on the Rosebuds, tall guy, big guy. You could have them show like, hey, are they going to be able to develop into, you know, a wrestler opposed to getting 11,000 people sending entries in that are probably, you know, 95% of them are jokes.
Yeah, no, I agree with you guys. And, you know, Hard Knocks, I think, is a really great analogy for what it should be. Now, Andy, WWE programming this week, we had the primetime players win the tag titles. I got to ask you, you know, was it their time to win it? Do you think that it was a smart move to take it off the New Day? Was this the right thing to do?
I was surprised that they did this at the pay-per-view. I thought that they would have done something where there is going to be some swerve. And then on Raw, somehow they produce a swerve. So then they get the tag titles. But I do like the fact that they got it because I think they deserve it. And their promos, I'm you know, their promos that they have backstage are the best. But, and the thing that stinks about it is they stopped doing them. So I'm disappointed in that. But yeah, I think that the primetime players deserve it, you know, both Titus O'Neil and Darren Young.
I kind of wanted the New Day to keep them just because I thought they were actually getting some good momentum. I mean, they have a win over Orton, if I'm correct, not too recently. Like, they finally started to push a team. The Freebird rule works very well for them. They're obviously very well hated. I'm okay with the primetime players. I think you could have given them another 2 to 3 weeks to build it up because they really, I don't even know what their feud is outside of you pinned us at Elimination Chamber. This could have gone like 2 to 3 weeks. I'm not mad at it. I think the New Day will probably win it back by Battleground, SummerSlam at the latest anyway. And but good for them. I mean, Young and what is it, O'Neil? They're decent. I don't have a serious problem with them.
Yeah, and I agree with that. You know, the only thing I wonder, though, is the tag division is kind of thinning out now, especially with, you know, actually something we didn't talk about was Tyson Kidd being out for a full year, which, you know, is incredibly sad. With Tyson Kidd being out, Cesaro now is going to be by himself. So you don't have that tag team. You don't have the Usos now. And so your tag teams are Primetime Players, New Day, Los Matadores, and Lucha Dragon.
You have the Ascension.
And the Ascension. You know, actually, now that I think about it, that's probably why they're having what's this, the Wyatt family. You know, that's probably why they brought them back together. They're probably going to win the tag titles, my guess.
Well, yeah, because they set it up that way. But I almost hope that they win the tag titles, but they also go back to Bray. Because, you know, like you said, the tag team is, the division is very thin. I mean, you have some in NXT that, you know, possibly could come up, but I think they're too soon right now. You know, Blake and Murphy, I think, could do well, but I think that they need to stay down in developmental for a little bit longer. I think that if you want to bring a tag team in that I think that could get some, you know, people would be like, whoa, who are these guys? And just bring up Big Cass and Enzo, because they're down there. They're huge. And I think that if you introduced them in a way, you could actually have them maybe translate over, but you have to push them like you're pushing Kevin Owens. You got to throw them down your face, but their gimmick is the best in NXT, hands down right now.
Yeah, they need to wrap up their storyline with Blake and Murphy and probably capture the titles first. Because, I mean, they've been chasing them for about a year, I think, since Enzo's gotten back from injury. So, I mean, I think they're going to be big enough with Enzo's ability to talk. And he's pretty over with the crowd, as is Cass. I like Harper and Rowan. I don't think they should go back to Bray. I've also been a big fan of Bo Dallas because his character is non-existent, joining his brother anyway. It'd be a good way for Bray to corrupt his younger brother, have a new follower, you know, the Bo leave positivity being flipped over to him being super evil now. It's something for him to do and something for Bray to do.
That actually is a good idea. That it really is. You can only, you know what, you could actually have Bray somehow brainwash Bo and then have Bo basically do the thing with Luke and Harper, or I'm sorry, Harper and Rowan, and then you have them go against New Day, so you have a 3-on-3 type deal. You can do something like that. But I mean, that's just out there. I'm not surprised that Rollins retained, but I'm surprised that he retains and he had no help. I mean, this is the first time he's not had any help. I mean, what are your thoughts?
Well, they had to try and legitimize him in some way, shape, or form. You know, going into this, his title reign so far has been lackluster. You know, if I'm going on a score, you know, out of 5, I'd give this a 2. You know, like, I would say his title reign has been a 2 out of 5. And that's not good. You know, I mean, even a 1, potentially. But they had to have him win a big feud by himself, even if it was kind of in a, you know, a way that made it look like Ambrose didn't lose that bad. You know, he was fingertips away from, you know, capturing the title. But the thing that really surprised me was on Raw when they announced his next opponent and when Brock Lesnar's music hits and they said, by the way, here's your opponent for Battleground.
I was shocked about that, actually. That he would face Brock Lesnar this soon. I would thought that he would have shown up at Battleground opposed to, hey, I'm going to wrestle on Battleground now. But maybe Brock Lesnar is going to have a different schedule. I mean, I think they have him for like 8 dates from like when they do the show in Tokyo until August, which is really weird. But yeah, I will say the finish, though, at the pay-per-view, I'd like the fact that they both fell with the title, except that Rollins grabbed it at the last minute. I like that swerve, though, in that case. But he did retain. He didn't have any help from J&J or Kane or any of those guys.
It's a good finish. I mean, it's the dual possession kind of thing. And I think they mentioned that too, the receiver who came down first. And I mean, that's a WWE rule that they just made up and it works fine. I have to say, I don't buy that Brock and Rollins is going to happen at Battleground. I mean, that's a bit of a throwaway pay-per-view. Yeah, they said Brock's his next opponent, but Brock Lesnar is a big-time draw, and we've said this before. That match, I believe, you have to save for SummerSlam. I don't know how they're going to get out of it. They could suspend Brock again. He could go crazy. It might just be one of those ones where it just ends in disqualification really quick, but I don't see Brock Seth being concluded or even really going on much at Battleground. That pay-per-view just doesn't matter.
Well, and I think the other question, too, is let's just say this match goes on. Brock Lesnar is more than likely going to win that based on, you know, kind of the way they book him, unless Rollins wins by DQ or Lesnar wins by DQ and retains the title. So what do you do for SummerSlam then? You know, are you going to do a Rollins-Lesnar part two for SummerSlam? No, you don't do that. SummerSlam is typically a feud starter slash ender. You know, I mean, you typically see new matches there. You don't see rehashes. So, I wonder what this means then going forward. And, you know, in the coming weeks, we're going to really be talking about it because I think Battleground's like 4 weeks away. So they're going to have plenty of buildup. They're going to be able to do something with it. And we'll be able to finally get an idea of what's going to happen.
Yeah, I think it's actually 5 weeks away, if I'm correct. So, I mean, they have plenty of buildup. And it's also, what are they going to do at the Tokyo show? Is that going to be just a one-off thing? Or are they going to have that where it's going to mean something? So, I mean, we have a long ways away. I just hope that the buildup doesn't stink because I felt like the buildup for Money in the Bank was bad.
Buildup for Money in the Bank?
Exactly. That's the thing. And the fact that match was first, I thought that was ridiculous. It should have been either last or, you know, second or third to, you know, instead of eight matches, it should have been six or eight. It shouldn't have been one.
I think they set that up because most of us thought Reigns was going to win, so it would give him the most possible time to recover and cash in. So I think that's everyone seemed to believe Reigns was winning. That's why the crowd went crazy when Bray came out and started chanting, "Thank you, Wyatt." Like everyone thought Reigns was winning, had hands down. I think you guys even said on the podcast, this is Roman Reigns' win.
And what I really thought was going to happen is I thought that Rollins and Ambrose were going to beat each other up and they're going to be completely out. Then Sheamus was going to come out and cash in is what I thought was going to happen. As in, because he can go to the top ladder, say, "I'm cashing in," and throw it, and then have them announce that they're cashing in and just rip the belt down. And it would be kind of the lamest way to have the title go to someone else, but they didn't do that.
Yeah, I'm glad that they didn't, you know. And as you mentioned, you know, Sheamus did win the Money in the Bank, and that was a little bit of a surprise. They're going to have to really build him up, though. I think that they did a really good job with Rollins. They built him up while he had the Money in the Bank briefcase. Prior to him... let's see, you know, what you had
Sandow
have it, which that was a joke. And then you had Ziggler had it. And that was pretty good. I mean, you know, he got a huge pop over, Del Rio. Cena had it, which, you know,
Orton,
I think would have been the most recent one that was kind of the biggest.
Cause he cashed in on Brian.
Yeah. So Sheamus, they have to build him up. They have to make him a monster heel in some way, shape or form. And, you know, they've done an okay job, but they're going to have to do a lot more, I feel.
Yeah, this is going to be harder than when, you know, when Rollins actually won the title, because we all thought we were like, why did he win it? Sheamus will be the hardest one right now, but it'll be intriguing to see when he cashes in. I'm going to say right now it's going to be in October or November is when he's finally going to cash it in. So
you really have the WWE champion as the third heel in the pecking order? Because, I mean, he's clearly behind Rollins and Lesnar. There's no question about that. And he might be behind Bray Wyatt.
Yeah, that's a tough one. But who's Sheamus going to feud with now? That's the thing.
I mean, he's not. I don't put him in that same class of Brock Lesnar, Rollins. He's in the same class of Ambrose, but we know Ambrose wouldn't be in the main event if not for his feud with Rollins. Like, I'm kind of surprised as to why he won it. He just didn't seem like the guy I would have given that. I would have given that to Ziggler before I would have given that to Sheamus.
Yeah, I wish Zig would have won, too. That would have been great. But overall, it was actually a really good match. It just felt like when it was all said and done, you're like, oh, that was it. I thought there was going to be something else. Like, there's going to be a table involved. And instead, they just had a ladder break that was rigged. But whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, well. But, yeah, so Reigns, yeah, like, you know, because Reigns was going to grab the money in the briefcase. You know, Money in the Bank and briefcase, and of course he went to go grab it, and then all of a sudden there's Bray Wyatt, and he gives him Sister Abigail, so he's out.
Do you think that this feud will be a moneymaker for him?
This is one of those where it could go either way. It could be a really bad feud, like, you know, Big Show and Ryback, or it could be a really good feud. And Bray has actually been able to work with everyone and looks good. I believe that it'll be a really good feud when it's all said and done, but I believe it's going to carry over to SummerSlam. I don't think it's going to be a one-off thing. I think it's going to go to SummerSlam.
Yeah, I agree. And the only thing that I don't like about the feud, because I think it will be a moneymaker for WWE, I think it'll help build Reigns up a little bit more, maybe even help build Bray Wyatt up a bit more too. But the thing is, they just faced each other on Raw after Reigns had wrestled two other matches. His third match was against Bray Wyatt, and he beat him. So you're telling me now that they're going to have singles matches, and Roman Reigns may or may not be able to beat him after he was able to beat him and two other guys in the same night. That's my biggest thing with it. But I do agree with you. I think they'll probably have a match at Battleground and have another one at SummerSlam, and then, you know, probably carry over to Night of Champions or something like that.
So Bray Wyatt, quick question for you guys. When's the last time he's had a feud that didn't involve him starting the feud by interfering in a match? Like, I hate to say it, but all of his feuds start the exact same way, with the exception of The Undertaker, who's never around. He interferes in a match right as that person's about to win. Ambrose, Bryan, Ryback. I like Bray. I like him a lot. Cena, The Shield, even when the last time they feuded. Every single time his feuds start the same way. Someone's about to win. Jericho, he just pops in out of nowhere and he attacks them. And that's fine. You know, he's supposed to be a little bit mystical. But I'm just saying, aren't we going back to the well one too many times? And I like the idea of Reigns versus Wyatt. I think it's kind of cool to have the guy of the Shield versus the guy of the Wyatt family. But we've got to find new ways for his feuds to start. Every feud starts the same way. Every single time.
Actually, you know, I'm thinking about it. Wow. I never thought of it that way. Because, yeah, he interferes with everyone. So he just picks and chooses who he's going to take out next or try and defeat. Of course, he lost to The Undertaker, but yeah.
Well, now, if they work that into his gimmick, that would actually be cool, because then you would start to wonder who is Wyatt targeting next, but they don't say anything about it.
And the thing is with Bray, you can actually have him do a 2-month feud, have him go away for a month, and then do another 2-month feud, and it works. Because he's not being thrown down our throats. Like, I think this is horrible to say, but I think Dolph Ziggler, he's been thrown down our throats for so long. I think that everyone's like, oh, he's there. Like, that's how I take it. And with Bray, he's there. He'll cut a promo maybe after he's done with his feud. And then he sets up the next feud, but you don't hear anything from him. You don't hear everything on every Monday and every Thursday. You don't hear it all the time. It'll be either on Monday or it'll be on Thursday. It's not both right before he starts his feud. So I thought the way that they started the thing with Roman Reigns, great. It was awesome.
Yeah, and, you know, something else that was pretty awesome, Andy, was that Kevin Owens took on Cena in a great match. I think it was better than their first match. But the outcome was something that I had called last week, which I said that I think that Cena's going to win this one. And you really swore up and down that, nope, Owens is going to win a second time. That's exactly what's going to happen. So, Andy, what were you going to say about that?
You're right.
Wait, I'm sorry. I didn't hear that.
Aaron, you were right about John Cena winning. That's it.
Thank you.
All right, so with this match, it was great. Great back and forth. I like the fact that Owens did the "you can't see me." I thought that was hilarious. I liked the only thing I thought was weird is that it looked like a couple of times that Owens was not assisting Cena in moves. And after a while, I was like, why isn't he just helping him with a simple move? I mean, it's just, I think he picked him up for, like, it looked like it was going to be an electric chair drop. And it looked like Cena just power lifted him. So I don't know. But anyways, but that was my only gripe about the match. But overall, the match itself flowed real, real well. Lots of back and forth. It wasn't like Cena was always getting his butt kicked or same thing with Owens. Just great back and forth. And I'm sorry, but every time you tease the package pile driver, it ticks me off. All right. Every time I see him go for that, I'm like, is he giving him a pile? He's going to give it. He's going to. Oh, disappointing. What were your thoughts on that, Roger?
So, first off, there are three words that you should live by now, and it's lol, Cena wins. You know this. You know how things work. If he loses the first one, he's winning the second one. This has always happened. No one, even the great Brock Lesnar, didn't beat Cena twice. Think about that for a second. Brock Lesnar is the most overbooked character in the WWE, and he's got one victory over Cena. Kevin Owens was never going to get two.
But I thought that they were going to change it where, you know, with Cena, the gimmick, you know, never give up. I thought that he was going to win a second time, and then there he was going to say at Battleground, you better put that – I'm going to put the U.S. title on the line. You don't have to put your NXT championship, and we're going to go at it. And I thought that's how what it was going to be, so it'd be a never give up thing. But then, of course, Owens, you know, beats him again. So then it would set up something later on where, hey, Cena, you never beat me. And he just throws it in his face. He's like, oh, I'll put the U.S. title back on the, you know, the line again or whatever. And I thought that's what they would end up doing. But I was wrong. Aaron was right.
I have to say, only thing that bothers me about this, and this is from a pure fantasies perspective, I thought they booked it properly. I think Cena getting the win was fine. I think they should move on from the feud. I like Owens taking him out with the apron powerbomb. One thing I would have done is I would have actually had him kind of pull a move where he was trying to take him out permanently and let Samoa Joe, who has a history with John Cena, let his music hit, let him get introduced to the WWE Universe. They don't have to fight, but point out that these two are going at it on Wednesday and just have a stare down and Owens walks away. That would have been a very easy way to introduce Joe to everyone, plug the NXT feud, and keep it going.
I completely agree with that because that makes a lot of sense because then you're also promoting NXT on Wednesday. And they could have done that on Monday. You're like, hey, by the way, they're going at it. It's a non-title match. And even though if you watched NXT the previous week, you knew it was going to happen, but you could somehow tie that into that storyline as well.
Yeah, no, I think that would have been a really great idea. Definitely. Now, Owens actually took on Ziggler and Cesaro on Raw and on SmackDown this week. And two good matches. You know, I mean, it was really cool to see Owens take on somebody other than Cena on the main roster. It shows that he can hang. But what do they do next? Because, you know, as Roger had said, probably move him on from here. Cena was apron powerbombed. I don't think that they're going to have another match at Battleground. And at least I don't think they should because they had two matches in 2 weeks. You know, you don't need to have another buildup for another feud. So does Owen stay on the main roster now? Do they have him take on somebody else or do they take him away and don't have him booked on the pay-per-views?
I'm wondering if he's just going to go back to NXT and be like, you know what? I'm not needed here, you know, because he'll go at it with Joe. I'm not needed here. So guess what? And he drops the championship on the belt. He goes, I'm going to be the United States champion after Battleground. You could do something like that. But because you got to remember NXT tapings, they're happening very, very soon. So why not do that? I mean, because you are setting it up where, you know, because he power bombed Machine Gun Kelly, which was hilarious. But you could have Cena come out and say, hey, he's my boy. He's from Cleveland, blah, blah, blah. I'm from Boston. It's close enough. Exactly. Like I can see Japan from my backyard.
Are you listening to yourself right now?
I was trying to do a joke that Sarah Palin makes how she can see, you know, like Japan from her. Never mind.
Russia. But yeah. Anyway,
Russia. My bad.
But what do? Do you keep Kevin Owens? Does he take on Cena at Battleground? Does he take somebody else on? Or do you have him go back to NXT?
He has to because he already said on Raw that he wants to take Cena on, but he wants him to put the title on the line. So what's to say he doesn't lose the NXT championship? We don't know. I guess it'll be interesting to see what happens. I'm really intrigued because they could go a thousand different ways. But also you got to remember that Cena has to do promotion for I can't even think of the movie, but he did it with, Amy Schumer. He did that movie. And the promotion and that movie comes out on the 17th. And if I'm correct, Battleground's on the 19th. So he has to do basically a promo stuff that entire week leading up to it. So
I say that Owens actually should not be on the main roster again until his actual call up. And the reason for that is that I would have him go back down to NXT and I would have him bill himself as the guy who took out Cena. And it basically works as him not running from Cena from the feud, but Cena can't touch him because he's down in NXT. He's still your champion. And everyone who faces Kevin Owens is now facing the guy who beat one of the legends on the Raw roster. He now can not only be over a guy who you're building, but he can put over other people. If Sami Zayn beats him, Sami Zayn is instantly over because he didn't just beat an NXT champion. He beat a guy who beat John Cena. So yep. You have him stay down there and you have him build Joe and Sammy and a couple other guys before he comes back and says, hey, I'm not a rookie. I've already been on this roster and I've already beaten one of the guys. I get to cut in line.
Well, that's the thing, though. If he would have beat Cena again, that would have been way better. if that was the case, because then he won two in a row and he's like, yeah, I beat John Cena twice in a row. Who's going to come after me now here, you know?
So the only thing I would say against that, even though I would like the idea as a Kevin Owens fan, from a kayfabe standpoint, does it make sense for Owens to be the only guy who's beaten Cena twice in a row? I mean, realistically, should he have done something that even Brock Lesnar wasn't able to do?
Yeah.
Or Punk or The Rock or Triple. I mean, there's a lot of guys who Cena has been booked so strong over the years that if Owens comes in, does it make Owens look better, or do we just assume that Cena's dropped because he doesn't lose twice in a row? Him having two competitive matches with Owen, in my opinion, makes Kevin look better than it does without making Cena look worse.
You bring up a good point. I don't know where to go. I guess I really am actually excited to see what they're going to do with Owens now, because it's up in the air. I mean, it can go 1,000 different ways right now, but I guess.
Like I said, I think the route I would not go, I would not have him take on Cena for a third time. I think that's a bad idea, because if Cena wins, that really pushes Owens down and vice versa. So I don't think that's the right move, but I'm not sure who they would have him feud with, because if he already had a match with Ziggler and Cesaro, Cesaro would be a great match, I think. You know, it could help put Cesaro back on the map a little bit more as a single star, but you already gave that match away for free and on SmackDown, no less. So I don't think it'd be a good idea to build a whole feud around that. So they're going to have to find another face that they're going to have Owens take on and take out.
Well,
Neville, obviously, but he has faced Neville too, actually.
And
so.
Man of history, he apron bombed him.
Yeah.
So they actually could continue that storyline. And, I mean, he should be treading water between Samoa Joe and Sami Zayn, in my opinion. Because those are the two feuds that he really should be working on right now. Joe for the moment, and the moment he's done with Joe, Sami should be back. And then they need to conclude that feud.
And then that brings up another point. Do you bring Samoa Joe up real fast? Or do you make him stay down at NXT? Because some people in the WWE universe may not know who he is.
I would do the same. I would do this yearly. I would do the same thing with Joe that you did with Owens. I would bring Joe up for a match against a big star, maybe two, next year to introduce him, and then let him continue his run at NXT. I'd do it for a year. I think most people know who Samoa Joe is. In the WWE universe, yeah, they're probably not TNA people, but you've probably heard of him. To be quite honest, I'd be surprised if they've not heard of this guy. You may not have seen his best work, but you're probably familiar with who he is. Like, if AJ Styles showed up, you're not going to be like, who's that guy?
That is true. Yeah, I think the crowd would go nuts, too, if AJ shows up. Then you only have one AJ in the WWE. Wow. Maybe, you know, yeah, but we can go on and on about this, because I just thought of another idea, maybe having the NXT Championship defended on Raw one week, but anyways, let's just thank our sponsor, HostGator. Are you a blogger or a podcaster, or are you just not happy with your web host? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click script install to the free site builder, and hands down the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo to see how easy it is. And if you use a special coupon code OFFTHEMARK, you're going to save 25% off your web hosting packages. So what do you got to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite out of your web hosting costs. Also, make sure you check out Section 86's Off the Mark page and click on the banner at the top to save big on items from WEShop.com. Did you ever use that coupon code that I sent you, Aaron?
Not yet.
All right.
He does have a Fandango t-shirt.
Oh, nice. So some sad news. Good old Dusty, the American Dream Rhodes, passed away. So he joined Sapphire up in the, you know, squared circle in the ring up there. What?
Wow, that was just terrible. Like, really? The Sapphire?
Yeah, I mean, she passed away. I mean, he gets to join her. I mean, I don't remember Dusty back in the 70s and 80s. I remember him with Sapphire. That's how I...
He was only with Sapphire in the 80s and... I didn't realize. So you watched wrestling the year you were born?
No.
You said 70s, so, you know.
I didn't watch him in the 70s and the 80s. I mean, I guess I did watch him a little bit in the 80s, but, like, I guess I always remember the, you know, the polka dots, the yellow polka dots and black attire.
And don't get me started on that, because I think that's a travesty for the type of person that he was.
That statement alone is sad, that the only memory you have of Dusty Rhodes. Walkers is his polka dot.
Okay, when I first saw him, that's how I remember him with Sapphire. I don't remember the stuff before then because I never saw it. But then I remember seeing him doing stuff, developing characters and also wrestlers, training him. And, of course, his son, Goldust, and his other son, Cody, or Stardust now.
Call him Cody.
Yeah, don't call him Cody. I don't know. It's just one of those things.
So, Andy, yeah. I want to ask you, because we're going to spend a little bit of time talking about Dusty Rhodes. Did you said you watched everything on the WWE Network. So did you watch the Ric Flair Dusty Rhodes documentary?
Yes, I did.
Okay. So that's something that I really think, you know, you're listening to this podcast right now. You probably have, you know, heard Stone Cold talk about Dusty, maybe even Jericho, you know, talk about, you know, how sad it is, because it is, it's very sad. You know, we lost somebody who was not just influential on the business before, but even up until the day he died, he was very influential, helping to build younger stars. And that's something that we really won't be able to say about Hogan or Flair when they pass. We can say how great they were in their prime and all the stuff they did to pioneer, but they didn't help build stars when they were in their 60s, late 60s, you know. But I highly recommend watching the Ric Flair Dusty Rhodes documentary. It is quite amazing, and there was so much I didn't know. I did not know that Ric Flair idolized Dusty Rhodes, and I didn't realize how good of a talker Dusty Rhodes is. And, you know, for me personally, I would not have seen him as being as big of a star back then, except for based on his talking. He did not have the look, but he definitely had the charisma, and he had the gift of gab for sure.
I think like Aaron, I missed obviously most of his prime just because his big years were while I was 2 or probably not even born yet. I think the interesting thing about his influence is that unlike a lot of people, like for example, Hogan, we know his influence on the business because we witnessed Hulkamania and we saw it. You hear about how great Dusty was from other people, whether it's wrestlers, promoters, young talent. Like Aaron said, up until the day he died, he was helping people. I think Renee Young got very emotional when she was talking about it because he had a big influence on her. I know Paige, he was very helpful with those people. I mean, you really realized how much he enjoyed the business. He passed down so much knowledge. He was very good. Even the Dusty finish, we'll talk about that until the day wrestling is gone. That will always be something. His ability to talk, I mean, even much like The Rock, he could say nonsensical things and have the crowd eating out of the palm of his hand because he was just charismatic. He didn't have the great look. He wasn't a high flyer. It's not like he wowed you in the ring with phenomenal matches, but he was so charismatic. He was so good. You just absolutely loved him. When he won, I mean, you see the videos they showed of the fans running into the ring. It was a big, I mean, he was the common man. People identified with him. He wasn't Austin, but he had that same Austin type vibe. Everyone wanted to see the American Dream win. He was insanely popular. What did Flair want to be? Rick Rhodes? Mm-hmm. Yeah. One of the greatest wrestlers of all time wanted to be Dusty Rhodes. I mean, what does that tell you?
I mean, yeah, that says a lot about basically Rick and also the influence that he had in the business. I mean, like you said, even someone who was in NXT like Paige, and she was already technically a made wrestler, and he helped make her promos even better. And there's a lot of guys that have said that if it wasn't for Dusty, I would not be good on the mic. I mean, a good example is Roman Reigns and him have been working together, or will work together a lot, even after Reigns did the acting classes. And you could tell that Reigns improved over time. And he was horrible on the mic for the longest time. And then he started working with Dusty, and then it got better every so often. Even Dean Ambrose, I mean, he was great. He had some great promos, but Dusty got more out of him because of it. Because I think a lot of people will talk like monotone, if that makes sense, where they talk like really low. And most of these guys, you can tell that work with Dusty, they talk from their their lungs or whatever. They talk from there, opposed to talking just from their mouth. And I think that's why I think Dusty will be missed, because you're not going to have another guy who can teach younger people how to actually cut a proper promo. So I really hope there's someone who can take his place. But it's just really sad that he's passed away. I mean, I think I only saw a handful of his matches, but I've seen the influence he had behind the scenes, and I think that's what he'll be remembered for. I mean, that's why Renee Young, I think, is actually a better announcer than what she was, because of him.
Yeah, no, and you know, if you have a chance, take a look at a couple Dusty promos, and You know, you'll see, you know, the Hardworking Man one, which is, you know, his one of his probably his most famous one that he gave about Ric Flair. And, you know, a couple weeks ago, Paul Heyman talked about when he gave a promo in WCW. And then Dusty said, well, that was very entertaining, but where's the money? And when you see Dusty's promo about being a hardworking man, you see where that money is. You see, because he's talking to you about being a hardworking person, you know, the Southerners, obviously, and what they're doing. And you're sitting there going, oh, my God, I cannot wait to see you tear Flair from limb to limb. I cannot wait to see that. Here's my money. You know, and that's the thing, like Rhodes drew money in the South, just so much money. Obviously, he did a little bit more in the North, too. He had a lot of Black and African-American fans, too. That was something that was really big, is because people identified with him. And they said that he actually had more fans than other Black wrestlers did at that time.
270 pounds of soul, I think, is what he said. Mm-hmm. If you've ever seen the Paul Heyman DVD, he's talking one of his early things, and he talks about how he kind of sneaks into a meeting, and he talks about learning from Dusty Rhodes and just watching him. And he says it with such reverence. And Paul Heyman, for any of us who grew up, you know, kind of worshiping the ECW cult and knowing the type of creative genius that Heyman has been, whether or not you think he's shady on the other side or how much credit he deserves, he's a very talented man. And he will be the first to tell you he learned so much of what he can do from wrestling, from just watching Dusty Rhodes and the way he booked shows, the way he understood characters, the way that he understood how to not only cut a promo himself, because a lot of people can do something well, but being able to then translate that and teach other people, that's a talent that not many people have. Paul Heyman has it. Dusty Rhodes had it. You know, there's not a lot of people who can probably say, here's how you get better. He's going to be missed. He's going to be missed a lot. And I think especially in NXT, because he was the person who was making the people like Reigns and Paige and Renee, and who's going to be that next person to guide people. I don't think Heyman will ever get enough influence in the WWE to pass his knowledge on. And so if you take him out of the equation, who's that guy who trains the next generation?
Gosh, that's right. Because can Paul Heyman do it, though? Because if I'm correct, he lives in New York. So is he going to want to relocate down to Orlando to be at the Performance Center? Because Dusty lived in Orlando. So for him, it was probably a 30-minute drive. You know, Paul Heyman, he won't be able to work with people every week. I mean, because they had promo classes every week. Is Heyman going to fly down after SmackDown and do it on Wednesday, then fly back so he has like 2 days to stay at home? I don't know. Realistically, I can't think of anyone off the top of my head who could replace him besides Heyman and maybe Flair, but Dusty just had a way, like, you know, Heyman, like what you said, Heyman, where's the money? I mean, like, that's the thing. Like, you got to have someone who thinks like Dusty in there. And I don't think that, you know, Dustin could do that, unfortunately. And you just got to find that one old timer that could do it.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm sure that they probably have some people in mind, but it's, you know, they won't replace Dusty. And I think that's the biggest thing. And, you know, we've been doing the show now for over five years, and we've lost a lot of people, you know, during that time. You know, we lost Savage, we've lost Warrior, you know, we've lost a lot of people, a lot of big name people. And the thing is, you know, like I said earlier, Savage, Warrior, you know, while they were really great and they definitely helped the business out, Rhodes did it until the day that he died. And I have not heard anybody, you know, obviously you typically don't speak ill of the dead, you know, and I get that, because with Warrior, people didn't speak that ill of him. You know, I think I called out on our show. I said, you know, the thing with Warrior, look, you may not agree with his political views. A lot of people aren't gonna, you know, but you know what he did inside the ring, you know, and for the business, I think was really good. The thing with Rhodes, though, is I have not heard anybody say anything at all negative, because he put Flair over when he was in his prime. You know, he had matches with Harley Race. I think he had matches with Bruno as well. Like when I think he went up north and I don't know if it went
at anywhere, Madison but, Square Garden.
Yeah.
They might not have crossed paths.
They might not have. But, you know, like he had matches though with a lot of people. He put a lot of people over, and, you know, he was that type of guy that I, you know, common man, and he wanted to work with everybody and help everybody out. And I think, so that's why I really think that we truly lost somebody that is very special.
Yep. And like you said earlier, we're going to always remember the Dusty finish. It's like gorilla position. You know, you have gorilla position. You're also going to have the dusty finish that we will always remember. So
I am. You know, there's another thing, and not to get too dark, but I feel like we've all of us have gotten to the age where, for example, when we were kids, the people who were passing away were people that we didn't necessarily follow. You know, like Andre the Giant, he was big before my time. I knew of Andre and remember WrestleMania 3 being talked about, but I was 3 when that happened. But we've now hit the point where the guys that we idolize, like Hulk Hogan is in his 60s, Ric Flair is in his 60s. A lot of those legends that we started to, and especially with the way, you know, wrestling was really poorly regulated back then, this probably isn't going to stop anytime soon. I mean, what's the cursed WrestleMania? WrestleMania 7, where 2/3 of that card, I think, has passed away already. Yeah, there's one of the WrestleManias that 2/3 of the card has passed away. I think it might be 4. I don't know. But it, you know, it's sad. I mean, and last time I saw Dusty, I even said he doesn't look good. Like, he, you know, Dusty was always a bigger guy, and he looked gaunt, very thin, very pale. Like, something is wrong with this. Is not kind of like Bobby Heenan looks like, sadly. And I will be very sad when he passes away, as I think he's the greatest commentator we've ever had in wrestling. No disrespect for Jim Ross at all, but Bobby Heenan was amazing. Him and Gorilla were the best combo ever. And for as far as for Dusty, it's like, I have a bit of regret not being able to enjoy him fully in his prime because I wasn't there. It wasn't something that was just easily available until 2 years ago, maybe, that you could really go back and watch this, because I feel like he was just somebody you just wish, kind of like kids who didn't get to see Michael Jordan play basketball. I wish I'd gotten to see that. I wish I'd gotten to see Dusty's promos live and kind of feel that emotion and watch his feuds with Flair. And I felt the same way about Flair. I wish I'd seen his prime. I mean, I don't miss Hogan's prime. I know what that was. It was the same match 10 years ago as it was 25 years ago. And nothing against Hogan. He worked the style that made him a lot of money. But you know what that match is, right? Dusty and his Dusty finishes, even though they've become a bit of a joke now, they worked very well in the territorial days. And those feuds, when he finally beat Flair, I can only imagine the reaction in the crowds. Probably Attitude Era style crazy.
Have they ever released a Dusty or, American Dream DVD? Because I don't remember.
I'm sure they will be. Yeah.
Because they'll have to go through the... Because that would be one, even... It'll probably have 8 hours of content. I would actually probably sit and actually listen to the entire thing just to hear promos. Because he could cut them, and I would... They could probably have 4 hours of promos, and I'd probably just sit there for 4 hours, just be like, all right, good one. Good one. Better one. You know? So...
Real quick, they actually did release one back in 06. So, but they'll probably have to do a new one with updated content.
Yeah, and plus they got, you know, they have so many, they bought so many tape libraries. They probably have, you know, more stuff from him. So, but anyways, rest in peace, Dusty. So that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you're into the Twitter, you can follow the show at AuthorMark86. I want to thank 86 Productions for hosting and ending the podcast. And I want to thank all of our listeners for taking the time to download and listen to the show. And for Aaron Hughes and Roger Cave, I am Andrew Hughes. And until next time, we'll see you in the ring.